Our gracious Father, we thank you again for giving us this opportunity to study your word, to receive its refreshment, and feed our souls. We pray that you would bless this message unto each of us, help us to understand and apply these things in our own lives, and we thank you and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we were talking about parathumene, being this concept of giving over to, presenting before the Lord, Christ gave his soul over to God for safekeeping through all that he would have to endure from the time he died all the way through Hades, all the way through coming back from the dead and going up to be with him for eternity at the right hand. And we can go back to the beginning where the Father had promised the Son that he was going to do all these many wonderful things. Give him a people, nations, give him the earth, the universe. All statements that Christ believed. He even covenanted with the Son over these things in Hebrews 13:20. There are many things written in the Old Testament that applied to Christ. Many things in the New Testament that he said that were all reflective of the faith that Christ had and lived by in his life while he was here on the earth. Galatians 2:20, it's been translated by some to, well, we'll read what is in the NIV first. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what's interesting here is this faith in the Son of God. So there's an interesting thing going on with this little word, in. It is based on the Greek form of the Son of God. It's actually in what's called the genitive case. Now, in has the idea of a location. Like you're placing your faith in the Son of God. The genitive, it has the idea of the word of, which changes this meaning quite a bit. It's not just faith in Jesus. It's the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And what's missing also in this passage is the, again, going back to the definite article, ha, which is the, so it's the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's actually, the life that he now lives is because of the faith of the Son of God. But any way you look at it, Christ lived by faith. Before his incarnation, he believed everything that the first person of the Godhead said, God the Father. In his incarnation, he believed the Old Testament scriptures that he read, that he metabolized, as we talked about. And he put his complete faith and trust in the Father's plan, provision, and power in regards to his life here on earth. It was his faith in the Word of God that took him up to the cross. It was the faith in God's Word that sustained him on the cross, and even when the Father had forsaken him, he still had faith in God the Father that he would hold up all of the promises that he had made. And he is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven, perfected in his faith. And perfected, that's when it says finisher, that he was the author and finisher of our faith. That concept of finisher is being brought to its completion. That is completed faith, faith brought to its ultimate culmination. It's not just that something has that was flawed and now it's perfected. He had perfect faith the whole time, but it wasn't complete until he had that perfect faith all the way through until he was seated at the right hand of the Father. That was the finish of the faith. That was the completion and perfection of the faith. But did the Lord actually have to live by faith? Some say no. Some say he was God, so why would he have to have faith in God? He is God, right? He didn't have to live by faith, did he? Well, he was God, and he still is. But we see statements of faith throughout all of his ministry here on earth, faith in the Father. The statements that he made about the Father were to the point, and the fact that he had a firsthand knowledge of the Father. And prior to his incarnation, he was with the Father in glory. And that's John 17, 5. His Father spoke words to him that he wanted him to hear and to share with us. And he had many other statements that spoke of Christ's knowledge rather than just faith. But remember that knowledge of something comes from seeing, hearing, and experiencing. And the things that Christ spoke of in the Gospels about these things came from his first-hand experience of God the Father. In eternity past, while he started out here on earth and learned from the Scriptures, these are all things that he was learning and getting knowledge of, but he didn't leave it there. He believed these things. He trusted in these things. They all had one thing in common. They all dealt with the past. So here Christ is in eternity past with the Father, and something new happens. He becomes a human. He empties himself of everything that it was to be God so that he wouldn't have that advantage. And it actually tells us that here in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even unto death on a cross. So all the things that he had seen, all the things that the Father had talked to him about, all the words that he had received from God, those were things that God wanted him to share with us. But anything beyond where he was during that point, up to the cross, that was all in the past. He had never, ever experienced what he was about to go through, dying, being separated from God the Father. That had never, ever happened for eternity past. He had always had that connection. And then when that's severed, the way he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's, to me, it really kind of indicates that maybe he didn't have the foreknowledge that it was going to go that far. He knew that he was going to have to die, that he would go into Hades, be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, that he would be raised from the dead. But this was something that seemed to take him by surprise. That could only happen if he didn't have the omniscience that he had once had when he was with the Father, before he emptied himself. And that emptying of himself made himself nothing. The Greek word has the idea of emptying. So, if he had still maintained all of his omniscience, omnipotence, while he was here doing his ministry here on earth, it would be a different example for us. We would, you know, we could always turn back and say, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say, you're God, right? But he was performing all of those miracles. He was speaking truth to absolute opposition, despite the fact that he was in complete and utter human form. The miracles that happened were from the power of God that would channel through him. And guess what? The same miracles were happening with the apostles after he went to be with the Lord. God kept doing those miracles for quite a while after, proving to the Jews that, yes, indeed, this was truly the Messiah. That was the whole point of those miracles to begin with. So now he's facing that different situation in the present, in his humanity, and regarding the future. It's as he's facing these many things that he's going through at the time and things that he was about to go through in the future, it was those things that he would face with faith. Faith in the Father's promises. Christ lived by the very concept that he began. Faith. The Archegos was the one who began the project and brought it to completion. The one who originated it and perfected it. And Jesus was the one who originated the concept of the faith, and he perfected it. Now, it was not that faith began in the New Testament, because we see it throughout the entire Old Testament as well, but we see that faith is the means by which believers are perfected. And we see that it was implemented by Christ as a manner in which all believers on earth should live their lives. Faith in the Father. Faith in the six P's of the Father. Faith in his plan. Faith in his promises. Faith in his provisions. Faith in his power. Faith in his protection, and faith in the process that God the Father has determined will bring about his plan, his will. So faith in his plan, which is perfect. Faith in his promises, which he cannot lie. Faith in the provisions that he has planned and put in place to allow Christ, in this case, to accomplish his will and for us to do his will in our own lives. Faith in the power necessary to bring about
his plan, the protection that was required to protect Christ all the way up and to the cross where God wanted him to go for the very purpose of paying that penalty that was due all of us. And the process, which each and every one of us in our own lives is probably the hardest thing to have faith in, to surrender to what God's doing, when especially when it's unpleasant, when it's painful, when it's heart-wrenching, separation from loved ones, destruction of relationships in some cases, because for whatever reason, this relationship is not going to lead to you accomplishing God's will for your life. Certain instances of health challenges and problems, things that we can't see or understand why God would allow these things to happen to us, why he would allow or cause. Because everything that happens to us is either direct or permitted by God's will. But that therein is the crux of it, is it's according to his will. And if we truly believe and trust in the process that he has for each of us, then we come to the realization that that's the way it had to be. This is what had to happen to bring about God's will. And if we are able to surrender to that, then we don't have to feel upset. We can be in pain and not like the situation, but we can rest in knowing that this is accomplishing God's plan and purpose for our lives. Now, Jesus Christ was the first of a new species of humanity. He was the prototype after which all the rest of us believers would be patterned. He was, as the Archegos, the chief of a tribe, the prince of a nation, the founder of this particular school of thought and belief, the king of a new kingdom, the head of the church. He was the originator of this concept of the faith, instituting the concept of living by faith in the Father. He participated in it himself, and he brought it to its full completion and perfection. And this paved the way that he himself established for all of us to follow as members of this new creation, this elite body of new humanity. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. This idea of new. There's a couple of different Greek words for new, the most common being neos, and the other being kainos. Now, neos, this is the idea of, think of a car. It would be the newest or latest model or version of an existing kind of car. You know, the new Mustang, we'll say. The new Maserati that came out last year or whatever, this year. It's new in time. Whereas kainos, this is new in quality, new in nature, new in design. It is a completely different kind of whatever it is that we're talking about. And in this case, if we're talking about cars, it would be like they completely reimagined what it is to be to to call it a car. Maybe, you know, like the cars of Back to the Future. What one was that? Number two, where all of a sudden they run off of completely different power source. They hover, they fly. Like, this is a completely new kind of car versus just the latest model that is like all of the other cars. So we are a new creature in the quality, nature, and design idea. And Christ was the pattern, the prototype for this new kind. Now, concerning the future, a future that Christ had not yet come to, the Lord had faith in the Father's plan, His provisions, His power, protection, promises, and the process that it would take to bring about God's plan. So He could go on and face all of the things that He had to face each and every day of His life. The rejection of His nation, the sneers and jeers of the crowd, the humiliation of a mock and unjust trial, His own friends, His own disciples abandoning Him, the horror of enduring the crucifixion, and of course, His own death, and even going to hell. He could do all of this because He knew by faith that the Father would protect Him. The Father would provide for Him. The Father would accomplish the plan for His life. And He did all of this all the way to the cross, trusting the Father would raise Him from the dead. Now, the significant and interesting things that happen with this is Acts 2, Psalm 16, it said that His heart was glad and His tongue rejoiced, and that His body would also rest secure. That last one specifically is kind of interesting because it indicates that Christ was concerned with His physical body, that His body would rest secure. And this shows just how human He was. Now, Christ's experience of inner joy, it's not based on the external circumstances. This is an inner happiness where He's comforted and assured, had a deep sense of inner well-being, and the basis of that was brought about through Christ believing that God would raise Him from the dead and that He had the power and faithfulness to do that. He knew that He would come back to life in this life in 3 days, and that His body would not experience decay. This gave Him that moment-by-moment sense of well-being, security, and inner joy, despite the terrible exterior circumstances of suffering on the cross. More than this, it was the validation, the vindication, and proof, the overt demonstration to the rest of us new creatures in Christ, that God would create on earth. It was a validation of this new concept of metabolized faith in the promises of God that He, Christ, had originated and brought to completion, that this metabolized doctrine in the soul would create that state of peace, that inner happiness in the soul that would so strengthen His soul and our souls that we can endure whatever trials that we're going under, even death, suffering, rejection, grief, even abandonment. And this is the legacy, the doctrinal system that Christ had left behind for all of His new brothers and sisters. Faith in the Word of God. It's not only sufficient enough to take us through life, and the trials that we find ourselves in. But it should be the focus, the emphasis for all of us to live by each day. Christ had to live by faith so that he could receive from the Father all that the Father had promised him. The promises of God are believed by faith and are claimed by faith. We have to go through certain trials in the process that God has ordained for each of us. If we don't go through those trials, through the process that God has, then we won't get the blessings, the promises that he's made. But they're still received by faith. And that's why endurance is needed throughout the trial, so that we can go through the trial and receive those blessings from God on the other side. The pattern is this. God wants to bless us. He's established a plan, but whereby he can and will bless us. And of course, that's based upon the principles of grace, faith, and truth. And he established every provision that we will need to bring that about. And of course, he, being omnipotent, has every ounce of power needed to make it happen. And he has ordained the principle of suffering as the promise, or as the process, I'm sorry. That is apparently the process that we need to go through to bring it about. Now, God is the one doing all of this, not to us, but for us. All of the difficulties that we find ourselves in, all of the painful trials and tribulations, they are not done to us, they are for us. In other words, they are to benefit our souls. And all we need to do is to actually trust him as he brings about his plan and will for our lives. The trusting is based upon the believer's need for the word of God so that he has something to put his faith and trust in. Patience, because of the time factor involved while we're going through it. And of course, endurance, which is applying faith in the Word of God while we're under the trial, while we're going through the suffering. Now we're starting to see the factor for the entire body of Christ on earth, and that we ourselves have to put into play. But we also need to see that this pattern was there for Christ as well. The Father had promised him certain and many amazing things. Christ came to earth, and while here on earth, he accomplished the Father's will and plan. But he did these things, again, by faith. Certain things happened to Christ on earth as he was here in his humanity. A lot of things that he went through, certain things were attempted against Christ by the devil and his people. But every single one of them was thwarted by the providential power of God the Father. And all during this time, Christ keeps moving forward, forward, forward in the plan that God has for him. The whole while utilizing the dynamic that he instituted for each of us of metabolizing God's word by faith. It kept him moving forward, accomplishing the Father's will, defeating the powers of darkness, gathering in his train, in his wake, the body of people composed of those that had been given to him by the Father. And having to go through that last major step that was necessary to claim what was given to him by the Father, that atoning death for the sins of the elect. Then after his death and his resurrection, he was taken up into heaven to be at the right hand of God, our Father. Although there were many wonderful aspects about Jesus Christ while he was here on earth, his forgiveness, his mercy, his patience, his love, his faithfulness, his graciousness, his commitment to God's plan, his relaxed mental attitude, his love of truth, his love of the Father. The single and most important thing that stood out above the rest of it was his total orientation and commitment and faith in the Father's will for his life and the rest of us. This is the manner in which we are to live our lives. We have to start with the premise that God saved us by his grace. But we have to recognize that God has a purpose in everything that he does. Were we saved by his grace just to go to heaven? Is it just a fire escape out of hell? No. Or did he also have something else in mind for us? A plan whereby he could bless us not only in eternity, but now too. And if this is the case, which it is, then he already has established that plan and the provisions necessary for each of us as his children to bring that about. And he's seeking to implement this in our lives. He's the one that's doing it. We're simply to move forward in faith in the plan that he has for us. We'll go ahead and stop here this morning. Father, we thank you again for the message, both of them, that you brought to us today. We pray that you would help us to understand and apply them, that they'd be a source of challenge and motivation to us in our own lives. And we thank you, Father, and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.